This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
All right, everybody, let's get into it. The WWE Podcast mailbag is here, and we have a lot of emails that I can tell you right now, we are not going to get to all of them. Too many. Just way, way too many. But it's WrestleMania week, and now we're in the hangover of WrestleMania, so everybody wants to get their opinions in. But I will do my best, my damnedest, to get everybody a fair shot at a voice here on the show. I may do this in parts. We'll see how it is. I mean, I've been doing shows now for several days in a row. Kind of burned out of it, I gotta say. You know, I'm sure you're tired of hearing my same opinions. But that's why this show exists, to give you guys an opinion. And I just want to let you know up front, there is a ton of emails, and I'll prioritize patrons as I always do. But I can't promise that you won't hear that you'll hear your email on here. If you're sitting there going, "Ooh, maybe my email's next, maybe my email's next," and then it doesn't come, I got it. I just haven't got to it. So I just don't want anyone to think that, oh, he's just ignoring. No, I'm not. It's just volume. So we'll get to everyone's email the best I can. Patrons first. You guys can join Patreon and get yourself an ad-free experience. And several of you have done that. Many of you, actually, over the WrestleMania week, have done that at Patreon and gotten yourself an ad-free experience and enjoyed everything that there is to enjoy at the Patreon side of things, including a Discord server that I saw some of it, and you guys are wild over there in a good way. And I just want to shout out to Meet D Star. And let's see who else. I've got Noelia D'Antonio. How about Noel D'Antonio? I'll shorten it. Thank you to both of you who have joined the last just 24 hours. And thank you. Okay, let's get to it. As we've got patron number one. Let's talk to Deanna. Really short and sweet here. She says, "I don't know how I'll be able to watch this cheesy, bawling Cody. Yes, it was time for Roman to drop the belt, but not to this tool. And I've got one more thing to say. What a narcissist this man is to have Samantha announce him again on Raw. What a D-bag." That's not anything I'll disagree with, Deanna. I mean, you've heard my opinions, my God, to ad nauseum. Anyone that's listened to me the last few days is just, I don't know how much more I can say about Cody, and you guys know how I feel. And Deanna, I do echo your sentiments. I didn't really think about the fact that he did ask Samantha, to the ring announcer, to announce him again as undisputed WWE champion. Now, we, by the way, can we collectively figure out what the name of this belt is? I'm not kidding. I've heard five different versions over the last several weeks. The Rock calls it the Universal Championship, just the Universal Championship. We've got Samantha Irvin calling it the undisputed WWE Championship. We've had Cody call it the Undisputed Universal Championship. We've heard it the Undisputed WWE Heavyweight Universal Championship. We've heard it the Undisputed Championship. Like, can we land on a naming convention, please? I know that it sounds like it's semantics, but no, it's important. It's almost embarrassing that we don't have a decided upon name. So WWE needs to get their S together. And we need to land on a name that is consistent across promos and ring announcements and wrestlers themselves. The Rock, again, calls it the Universal Championship. That one is just wrong. It's not the Universal Championship. It's the Undisputed WWE Championship. But I would honestly just call it Undisputed Champion. Keep it easy like they did in 2002. But that's not your point, Deanna. Your point is that he asked Samantha Irvin to announce him again. Now, this is something heels do, but I guess Cody can get away with it because he asked nicely. You know, he said, "If you'll indulge me, Samantha, can you please?" I know the way he says it, even he just sounds like a D-bag, doesn't he? I know he's saying it in a way that endears himself to most people, But I agree. That's a good point. Heels have done it. Heels do it in a way. I guess it's in how you ask, not necessarily what you're asking. I guess that's the strategy that they're going to implement for a defense on that. But I can't disagree with this, Deanna. Thank you. Let's talk to Shahar. I haven't heard from you in a while. She says, hi, Matt. So as you know, I attended both nights of WrestleMania. Here are my thoughts. One, you would hate to hear it, but as a Cody crybaby, this is one of the best events of my life. I was so emotional and happy to hear the bell ring for the last time on Roman's reign. It was worth the time and money and the trip all the way from Israel. I will carry it with me forever. Now, Shahar, I'm not angry at that. I mean, I don't hate to hear it. I actually love to hear that. That's the emotion wrestling should give you. I'm serious. I mean, you know how I feel about Cody, but that shouldn't affect how you feel, and it shouldn't affect how it makes me feel to hear how you feel. I know I'm getting a few levels deep here, but I mean, really, I don't mean that in a condescending way. That is the emotion that we are all seeking when we go to events. It's the emotion we're seeking even when we're at home. And I think that's awesome. It sounds like I'm being unserious, but I'm being very serious. So no, I don't hate to hear that. I love to hear that. I may not agree at the moment, but I can't disagree that it's not a big moment. Whether you love it or hate it, doesn't matter. It's objectively a massive moment in the company's trajectory. So cool. You know, love that. I love that. Number two, I was so disappointed to see that you were actually right about Becky. She got booed so heavily from the crowd. I was the only one rooting for her. I was so upset about it. I'm sorry to say that, but I think Rhea got over since she became sexy and girly. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember the crowd going nuts for about Rhea in 2022 when her hair was short and wore men's clothes. I think the crowd cheering for her is basically shallow. Well, see, Shahar, now, I guess partially I told you so. I'm being half of a jerk. But really, here's the thing, and I'm not trying to get on another diatribe about women's clothing and wrestling and people thinking I'm sitting on some patriarchal mountain dictating what women should wear and shouldn't wear. And, you know, I'm the second coming of, what's that damn show everybody talks about? Handmaid's Tale, the completely, by the way, totally fictional tale. Anyway, I think that the fans have gotten behind Rhea even before she started to show more skin and be overtly more sexual. And, you know, here's another part that people are going to really latch on to, but it's just true. I have looked a little bit at Rhea Ripley's tattoos, and, you know, some of them are very suggestively dark. Meaning like demonic. There's a lot of demonic imagery in her, on her skin, and that's her business. Well, no. Actually, no, it's not. It's our business because she's a public figure, so I get to comment on it. So some people, I know that some people are going to say, right, relax, just enjoy it. She can tattoo on herself whatever she wants. Yeah, she can. But here's also what I can do, because she is putting herself in a public position as a public figure voluntarily. I can comment on that. The problem with some people is that they don't like the opinion I have, or to them, it's the wrong opinion. I should have a differing one, and any dissenting opinions are just wrong and should be silenced. Am I wrong? No, that's the problem with people saying, relax, don't take it so seriously, it's none of your business. I love that when people talk about public figures as if they're none of our business. Now, if pictures are taken of people in privacy in their homes, then there is an expectation of privacy in a home. There's no expectation of privacy when you have a camera that is connected to national television on my television screen that you're voluntarily in front of. Okay, so the argument that who cares? Okay, you don't care. But here's my opinion on the demonic tattoos. Now, I haven't gone into biblical territory with it. I haven't looked into it as of, well, what this means, that means. But there are very overtly dark tattoos on her. And you don't just get that on yourself just for the hell of it, right? You're not tattooing mom on your shoulder. You're not getting a barbed wire around your arm, right? You're not putting the initials of your kids in the side of your ribs, right? So, like, my point about saying all this is, you know, I think that clearly we see what her beliefs are as a person. You know, if I were to say to her, do you believe in the, you know, and oh boy, here guys, here's one. I was going to say, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I know a lot of you are not Christians, and that's not the point. I'm not saying, oh, you know, you should. My point is to say that is, if I said that to her, she would laugh. I know she would, right? I think has overtly said she hates Christmas. And I think all this ties into her change of character. I you know, she's clearly not a person that has, I think, any kind of religious standing, and she doesn't have to. I personally don't really care. It just kind of comes with the territory of sexualizing yourself sometimes with that kind of thing. Sometimes, not all the time. So I know you guys will latch on to pieces of things I've said there and talk about this and that, but it's just true, right? Like when you tattoo demonic stuff on your body and demonic symbols, yeah, sometimes the other part of it is just kind of part of the other. It comes in like a 2-for-1. All that to say, I got really deep there. All that to say, I don't think the reason she got supported is because of her showing more skin. I think it's that the fans actually liked her character in the Judgment Day. She felt like a badass. The crowd cheered for her last year at WrestleMania, beating Charlotte. They were ready then. And the only reason she didn't get booed is because, or cheered, because she was with Dom. And Dom was the heater, the one that kept her from being completely turned to a babyface. But even now, no one can control it. So I don't think people are cheering her. Most people are cheering her because of the singular reason of, oh, well, she's showing more skin. Yay, I'm going to cheer you now. It's, you know, because even in the Attitude Era when women were sexualized, the men would cheer, but it would be kind of catcalls. And they'd only cheer when, you know, they took their top off or did a bra and panties match or, you know, showed their body in a way that men went, yay. Like the fans are cheering for Rhea when she's winning, not when she's showing more skin. But I do agree that it does appeal generally more to men when she shows more skin and grabs the attention of men. And what she doesn't see is, yes, it's grabbing the attention of men much more quickly than it may otherwise do. But you're also immediately imprinting a very sexual character in their brain. And as a man, I can tell you firsthand that when you do that, it's difficult to detach that from you. And meaning, especially when it's the first impression or it's more of a primary thing that I see from you, then it becomes much more shallow. So I agree with the shallowness, but I don't. I do think that people were cheering for Rhea well before the whole turn into this, let's face it, kind of a much more sexual character. Her whole mommy's on top thing, I mean, we all know what that implies, you know? For God's sakes, doing the stink face at a house show, the attire she wears. And all this to say, too, like I think she is a hell of a talent. I don't think she needs to do any of this stuff. She was already on the rise before she felt the need to do extra stuff to get attention. Post these pictures online that have nothing to do with wrestling and everything to do with, hey, look at my body. And then when you notice it, you're labeled a sexist, yet it's the sin of noticing, as I've said so many times. The sin of noticing. And somebody does something that's questionable, you notice it, and then you're the one that's being ostracized because you notice. So, all right, I've gone way off the deep end and probably pissed off about half the crowd here, so it's fine. If you've noticed, I've kind of brought in over the last several months a I don't give a F attitude. Like, I'm just going to say what I say, and it's going to dive into things that some people don't want to hear about. But hey, I'm kind of taking a new lease on just generally things in my life. Just going, screw it. I'm just going to do it, see what happens. And if you don't like it, I really just don't care. You know, not you, Shahar, just people that have issues. And, you know, the funny thing is, the more the people complain, the more, especially online, the more publicity I get. And the higher my rankings go. By the way, guys, we are, as it stands right now, as of this moment, and this fluctuates, and will probably decrease over the next several weeks and level out a little bit. We are number 12 in the United States for wrestling podcasts. I think we're 130 something in all of sports podcasting in the United States. It's pretty crazy. I know 130 something doesn't sound like a lot, but when you think about every sport the United States has and has a podcast for, baseball, especially football, right? Even golf has a bunch. Basketball, college basketball, recreational sports. I mean, there's so many, thousands and thousands and thousands. And we are 135 of all sports podcasts and number 12 for a wrestling podcast in the United States right now. So that'll probably level off. I know I kind of, you know, it's WrestleMania, so things spike a little bit, but it's kind of crazy. It's the highest we've ever been ever. All right, we're getting through the Shahar. This is not a good start for the emails, I have to say, because at the pace I'm going, we're going to get through like three emails. Okay. I was so happy for Drew when he got his moment and so disappointed for him 5 minutes later. You would think it was a lesson for him. Instead of stay and pick on Punk, he should have just walked away with the title. If he had done that, it wouldn't be happening. But I guess we get an amazing feud with Drew and Punk, and I have no doubt Drew will get his moment in Glasgow. And I can't believe I was at Philadelphia for WrestleMania 40. Still feels like a dream. Take care, my friend. Well, you too, Shahar. I'm really, you know, I'm very, very happy for you. It sounds like it was a, I don't know, sounds like I'm being overdramatic by saying it was a life-changing event. Life-changing, maybe a bit dramatic, but it sounds like it really was a highlight of your life. Maybe it didn't change anything. It just added to is maybe more of an accurate description. So that's awesome. And as far as Drew goes, yeah, he should have walked away, but obviously that wasn't written into the script, wasn't written into the plans that night. So they had Drew mouth off to Punk, which I didn't think Punk would get involved at all physically. That shocked a lot of fans. And they did what they did, but I still need to see a proper Drew heel run. I agree with this. Like, so I need Drew with instead of all these shenanigans at some point in his career to have a proper heel run. We've seen what the babyface run looks like. He did it throughout the whole pandemic. We know what it looks like. It's fun. It's great. But the heel Drew that we're seeing now is arguably the best version of himself that he's ever been. And he deserves a proper heel run, meaning minimum 4 to 6 months as a heel, maybe longer, probably longer, and see what that looks like. But awesome, Shahar. I'm very happy for you. All right. Let's talk to another patron, Justin L. And he says, I spent the whole weekend in Philly. I love the two-day Mania event because it gives a nice vacation feel to it, especially with all the other events going on around the city and everyone. Seeing everyone walking around with their gear on, from shirts to belts to being dressed up, everyone was a wrestling fan in Philly this weekend. At WrestleCon, you met Ronda Rousey, Ric Flair, and Sting. I also purchased a one-on-one Funko Pop prototype from Boogeyman and had him sign it. Okay, what did you buy from Boogeyman? I didn't even know he was there, but Sting was there. That's cool. Flair was there, probably half drunk. And Rousey, I'm surprised Rousey's even around. She is, you know, Ronda Rousey, for all her talent, and she is ultra talented in her, more in UFC than in WWE, but she picked up the wrestling product pretty well. And when she first got to WrestleMania, WrestleMania 34, what was it, with Hunter and Angle and Stephanie, I think that you really had something there. And since then, she's been off and on bashing the business. She's a very emotionally immature person. She just, for all of her discipline and her physical abilities and her discipline and her diet and training and all that, she lacks that very same ability in emotional control. She just can't not say something stupid about wrestling. You know, I'm not a fan of Ronda Rousey really at all, but I can't deny that she was a very big addition to the women's roster when they needed it. Now, I never want to see Ronda Rousey in a wrestling ring again. I have no interest. Zero. All right. Night one, you purchase tickets at 7:45 for $25 a piece, section 234. My friend and I ended up walking to the floor section for the main event. Crowd noise was night and day from night one to night two. Yeah, I think the Philly crowd got the message. People were not happy with the overall volume of Philly. And yes, it was chilly, okay? And people were maybe tired. I don't know what the deal was. But boy, yeah, night one to night two was a massive difference. All right, the Uso fight made me realize these two guys aren't as talented as we were made to believe. Well, I wouldn't judge their entire career talent on one bad match. Now, it was at WrestleMania, and it's against one another, so that magnifies things. But also, you look at the sample size here. Look at their total body of work. These two, when they're not facing each other, are amazingly talented. I mean, they are Hall of Famers right now. We are watching live Hall of Famers. Arguably the best tag team in the history of WWE. You can make that argument. And Jay has had some amazing matches, right? From Seth Rollins to Drew McIntyre. You know, they just those two alone the past few months have been really good. Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, he worked very well with. But just for some reason, his own brother is the one guy he doesn't have chemistry with. That's all. All right, I couldn't help but cheer for Cody. He deserved it, and living in the moment with 70,000 other fans was unbelievable. Overall, the greatest weekend of my life in terms of wrestling fun. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Well, that's awesome, Justin. You know, everyone's tired of hearing me bitch about Cody, and I understand it. So I'm just going to say, like, I mean, I genuinely mean it. I get the moment. I get it. I understand the feeling. I've been there for those kinds of moments. It's rare. You understand the magnitude, right? So when you understand the magnitude of the moment you're in and you have the shared experience with other people, it makes it that much better that have the same passion you do for the same thing you're watching. So cool. You know, like I totally understand why you cheer. You don't need to justify it to me. I'm one person, right? I'm one person with a medium-sized platform, but I'm still just one person with one opinion. Now, no one needs to justify to me why they cheer or boo for Cody. You know what I mean? I'm just generally, Justin, I think that's awesome. All right. Let's talk to Alex, the French guy. What does Alex got to say? Great WrestleMania weekend. Not the best of all time, but a great one. Well, I don't know. Triple H would beg to differ. We were told, with 100% certainty, it was the greatest WrestleMania of all time. Yeah, we were talking. I don't know, Alex. You need to fall in line, or Paul Levesque is going to be very upset with you. Even if I'm not the biggest Cody fan, I'm still happy for him to win. And I realized what the Cody problem is. I was happy for him, but not his character. As everybody coming from the locker room after his victory, they're cheering for Cody Garrett Runnels. Whether you like it or not, the guy put in the work, and he seems very appreciated by the locker room. For me, the guy is too unnatural. He seems like he's acting. I can feel he forces himself and he's not genuine, or he's not naturally genuine. Notice this. Beware, you will not be able to unsee this. Uh-oh. I really don't know if I want to read the next sentence because I can't unsee it. But here we go. Whenever he's angry, he's doing something with his mouth unnaturally, like when he's a dog about to bark. He doesn't seem like a man of the people. He checks all the boxes of the babyface, but as any art form, filling the boxes is not enough. Cody, you are being a big baby face right now. People love you, but show us your heart, your authenticity. Show us who you are. Thanks, Alex. Yeah, that's kind of that's a good distinction to make, and one that I actually agree with. For all the complaining I do about Cody and his character, it is just that. It's his character. It's not the man Cody Runnels. You know, like, I genuinely feel happy for Cody Runnels. And people seem to obviously really like him backstage. He's relatable. He's so humble. All this stuff, I'm sure, right? That's cool. That I feel happiness for Cody Runnels. That's a very important distinction, Alex. It really is. Thank you. But the baby face, the character he slides into and drops into, as they say, is the one that I don't support. And now that he's angry and he's doing something with his mouth like he's about to bark like a dog, I will never be able to unsee that. Alex, you warned me and I just didn't pay attention. I did not heed the warning. So Yeah, that's a good point, Alex. Thank you. All right. Let's move to another patron. We certainly don't have any shortage of that tonight. And as I'm looking through my email, guys, just to give you a number, I have about 25 emails unopened. That doesn't sound like a lot if I have thousands of listeners, but 25 emails, it's taken me 25 minutes to get through three. So you see the math problem here? So I'm trying. All right. So where am I going? Let's go to, let's see. Oh, I know who this is. Let's get to him.
Yo, it's me. It's me.
It's Rocky T.
That's right. Rocky T joins us right now. He says, first, the Bloodline has had many dominant eras throughout history. Down below is a picture of the only other time I can remember a champion being lifted up on the shoulders after a victory like Cody was. You and Anthony discussed this on the current state, and that victory was WrestleMania 10 and was also against a member of the Bloodline family tree, Yokozuna. John Cena delivered the AA to Roman. Just wondering your thoughts on if that tainted Cody's victory in any way. Yeah, good question. No, let me look at that. Yeah, so, you know, that I do see. I see what you're talking about. I see the screenshot. I see the side-by-side. It doesn't happen often. But, you know, what made it worse, I mean, there was a lot more than what you saw with Cody than in that screenshot. You saw his mommy coming out. And, you know, the message from his daughter was there. And you had people on the ramp that were standing there. You had announcers bawling. You had Samantha Irvin who couldn't even keep it together. You know, like, it was over the top. There's nothing wrong with, like, Randy Orton when he won the world title for the first time. Obviously Evolution turned on him, but he was held up on the shoulders. Like, it's a rare occurrence, but the problem is Cody Rhodes is, I don't know why we're all supposed to bow at the altar of Cody Rhodes suddenly. You know, Bret Hart at that time was the screenshot I'm seeing. Like, he was in a different stage of his career. Bret Hart had already been an established guy. Second, as far as your delivery of John Cena hitting the AA to Roman, no, I don't think that really tainted it for me. You know, like, The Rock got involved as well on Roman's behalf and attacked Cody too. So I don't have any issue with it. It ultimately didn't affect anything. It wasn't like the AA was hit and then immediately after he hit Crossroads 407 times, I think. So that's the difference. I know I said I didn't want anybody hitting Roman Reigns with anything, but in this case, John Cena had some legit beef with the Bloodline only from 6 months ago, so that would had a nice follow-up. No, I'm okay with it. Thanks, Rocky. All right, let's go to another patron, David. And he says, hi, Matt, I'm from Australia. Thank you for all the entertaining shows. I sure agree about the plethora of kickouts after finishes, which was a bit of a negative from WrestleMania. Otherwise, it was pretty awesome. The big main events, Sammy and Bayley winning, and the ladder match was fun. Samantha Irvin was amazing, and good to see Steph is back. Well, I don't know if Steph is back for good. Steph is, maybe there is a longer-term role. I don't know personally. I haven't heard anything about Stephanie's role. Is she truly back? Was it a one-off? I don't know. One thing I don't like about the podcast is your mega rants about Cody and some others. It's fine not to like them, and I agree with some of your points, but repeating the same stuff over is a bit annoying. And I mean, a bit mean picking on Cody's lisp, which I have yet to notice since you pointed it out a few months ago. I think with the celebrations for his win, maybe it was partly because people were so sick of the Bloodline and Roman's absentee championship, with the same old cheating to win rare title defenses. Good on you. Okay. Well, no, I appreciate that. You know, I don't want to make this podcast unlistenable, but I also, it's a conflicting goal, right? Because I also will never apologize for saying anything on this podcast about wrestling. Yeah, like my opinions generally, you know, I'm just like everybody, is entitled to change opinions, but I do not apologize for anything I've said about Cody. Now, that really wasn't your concern, or rather your critique. Your critique was, I say the same things over and there's mega rants. And sure, like, I mean, it's kind of something that I have done in my life. For some reason, I have this loop in my brain when I find something that I can latch onto that's like a good point. I tend to repeat it, and it's not fun to listen to. Totally understand that. I agree with that. So, but the content of what I said, I stand 1,000% by. And as far as his lisp goes, how have you not noticed? I mean, I have to ask. I mean, it's not even making fun of it. I'm not making fun of it. I'm speaking as he would speak. Making fun of it would be saying something like, oh, he's such a loser. He never got his lisp fixed. And I'm Cody Rhodes. And I have it like that would be making fun of it. Okay. And I'm not 15, so I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say that objectively it is distracting at times, and you kind of get used to it. But then sometimes you wish that there were no words with an S that he had in his promo, just because he is such a good promo. And I agree, he's very good on promos. I have no issue with his promos from a content perspective. He's quick on the mic. He does seem confident, but his lisp is there, and that's all. It's not making fun of it. There's a difference between pointing something out and making fun of it. I'm pointing it out as a distraction, and I did an imitation to mimic exactly how Cody sounds. And to me, it's distracting. That's all. And other people that don't want to talk about it because they feel somehow that if there's something, it's some kind of even small disability with somebody, they'll pretend it either doesn't exist or doesn't distract them. And they're lying. People are, and I know it's not fun to talk about. It's not something I sit here and think about. But every time I hear him on the microphone, I'm like, it's just because most people don't have a lisp. If you're an adult, you don't have a lisp. Most people. Okay. That's all. It's just, for me, a little bit of a detraction from every time he speaks. Not massive. Not anything he can't overcome. He's already overcome it. But he's got a lisp, and it is distracting, and no one wants to say it, but I'll say it. And I don't care. It's not making fun of it to point it out. But that's all. Now, as far as, the big celebrations, and it was partly because people were so sick of the bloodline and Roman Reigns' absentee championship. Yeah, I mean, I get it. No. I understand why people did it. I just don't agree with it. That's all. People, I don't know what it is. Sometimes people aren't hearing what I'm saying. They want to hear, they have some like preconceived narrative of what I am going to say, or they latch on to only part of my explanation for things and then they just run with it. I can disagree with what the execution is, but at the same time agree and understand why they did what they did. It's just not how I would have done it. That's it. But I understand why people were out there. It was almost a company-wide celebration of Roman Reigns being dethroned and us entering and ushering in a new era. I get it. No. It's not that I hate it or don't understand why it was done or don't even think it was a successful execution. I just don't. I wouldn't have done it that way personally. That's all. That's all. But thank you, David. All right. Let's talk to Hungry Pup. I think Hungry Pup, you are a patron. You don't have it in your subject matter or your subject of your email, which, by the way, guys, if you're a patron and you're new, you can send me a message directly on Patreon, and I prioritize the patrons as you're hearing now. Or if you send me an email at mailbag@wwepodcast.com, make sure in the subject you put that you're a patron. Otherwise, I'm not going to know. All right. So it's, again, from Hungry Pup, and Hungry Pup says, it's your patron, Hungry Pup, here. Love your show. Wanted to quickly drop a list highlighting this weekend's moments. You loved the ladder match, love, truth, and also psych for the Grayson Waller effect. I agree. Sami Zayn fooled me. I was numb and sad when I thought Gunther was going to win. The Uso match, you were disappointed. Reminded me of a kid spamming the super kick button in that old arcade game with HBK back, high, kick. Yeah. It did feel very much like a 8-year-old boy was in charge of the Usos in the match. It did. That's a really good analogy. It was like a like a third grader having control of a wrestling match and just finding a move that works and you're, you know, that the your opponent isn't blocking and you just keep hitting it. That's exactly what it was like. All right. You loved the Mummers. Again, I'm from Philly. Loved Priest. Wait, what the hell are the Mummers? Did I miss something? Is that another slang word I don't understand? There's a lot of those lately. It's kind of almost as shocking as when I told everyone on the show that I've never seen the Rocky movies. I really haven't. I know Adrian. I know Eye of the Tiger. I've seen some of the famous clips. I know generally. I know enough to BS you. And if you didn't know that I didn't, like if I didn't tell you beforehand I've never seen the movies, I could BS my way enough through some of the famous lines and quotes to make you fool you into think I've seen the movies. But if you dug even an inch below the surface, you go, this dude's no, he has not seen them. Right. I do that with a lot of stuff. Sometimes people just take me at face value for the things that I say, but I'm talking about like movies. If you name a famous movie that you feel like I should have seen, I've actually never seen Die Hard. There's another one for you. I've never seen Die Hard. I know the, here's the thing that I could fool you with. Do you think it's a Christmas movie or not? Right. I asked that question and then somebody goes into a diatribe about it and they go, oh, well, he must have watched it. I've never seen it in my life. That's another one. There's a lot here. I could probably go through something. Like never again, Star Wars. I've never seen any of it. I've never, again, all the Rocky movies, never seen. But name the famous movie that you'd be really embarrassed if you found out that I didn't watch. And I can probably tell you it's, there's a good chance I haven't. Okay, where am I going? So you loved Priest. Not surprised Drew won, but I'm presently surprised with the cash in. You hated the Prime Bottle cursing. Oh yeah, the Prime Bottle guy. He was some YouTuber that I don't give a damn about. I have kids and that ruined our fun. Loved Cody finishing his story, Hungry Pup. Yeah, look, again, I'm excited for Cody Runnels. I would concur with that. And you hated the Prime Bottle guy cursing. Whoever that YouTuber was, yeah, Randy Orton, I looked at that and I saw in Randy's eyes, he was like genuinely annoyed by this guy. And when he kicked him down and he barked in his face and gave him an RKO, it may have been one of my highlights of the night, like top three moments. He was cursing and the camera had a really, or the audio had a really big problem delaying it in time to bleep the F's out. It is not cool. I don't know why no one told him. I think it's just a understood rule. You don't drop a bunch of F-bombs on live television, you fool. Not you, Hungry Pup, the Prime Bottle, the YouTuber. I mean, yeah, if you have kids, see, that's my concern. You know, especially you bring young kids and they have to say, you know, to explain, Daddy, what's he saying? What's this mean? It's not cool. It does ruin things. Because that's, I totally agree. Totally agree. You know, even if you're not bringing them to a live event, I mean, I would imagine you meant that you're not at the event, but at home we could hear it clear as day. So, all right, let's continue. Let's go to another patron, Efren, Noah, and Marshall. And he says, it's been a while since I've emailed, but I'll make this short because you're probably getting blasted with emails. Yes, sir. So during The Rock and Cody's promo on Raw, The Rock handed Cody something and he told Cody he knew what it was without even opening his hand. On April 4th, Cody's bus caught fire and no explanation on how it started. What if The Rock handed Cody a lighter and then he made the comment that only a psychotic ex would say and said, don't ever break my heart again. What do you think? That is as good of an explanation as any, Noah. And Efren and Marshall, the three horse guys. That's as good of an explanation as I've heard. I've actually not heard a whole lot of predictions or guesses on what exactly is in his hand. A lighter makes sense. I think that's a very plausible explanation. Now, would they actually pretend that The Rock would have killed Cody Rhodes in a fire and lit him on fire? I mean, pretty extreme, but they've done a lot of non-TV PG stuff lately. So that's as good of an explanation as any. You guys are smarter than I am, that's for sure. Keep bringing those on. That, you know, I don't know what it is. We'll eventually figure out what it was, maybe next week or when The Rock gets close to returning in a few months. I would think The Rock and Cody Rhodes are going to go at each other at SummerSlam. I know that the plan right now, if you haven't heard Dave Meltzer, if you put any stock in what he has to say, and a lot of you do, a lot of you don't. But apparently WWE is planning Rock and Cody for WrestleMania 41. That's a mistake. I wouldn't do it. But if that's what they're doing, I mean, then I don't know. Maybe they can make me more interested in it. But it needs to be Rock Roman at WrestleMania 41. To me, that's the only place it could happen. But all right. Thanks, Efren. Let's see here. Patron. I'm looking for patrons. Dino. Let's go. From Scotland. Some quick thoughts on WrestleMania 40. I disagree with you about Snoop on commentary. I was loving it. I thought he gave us a little something different that made us laugh. Hey, no, that's cool. See, differing opinions. Differing opinions are just that. They're just different. See how easy it is, guys? See how easy things could be when you maturely handle a dissenting opinion? Unfortunately, it's a lost art today. Anyway, I wouldn't mind Snoop on commentary more often. I thought he was a great. I'm a big fan of it. I really laughed at a couple times. First when Randy kicked Speed, and then a minute or so later, he barked at him. I found it hysterical. I totally agree. Yeah, I'm with you. Lastly, I kind of knew deep down that Roman was going to lose, and my prediction for him to win last week was more hope than expectation. After the match, having seen all the reaction online and seeing Roman hug Paul Heyman at the top of the ramp, and then the hashtag thank you Roman trending, my eyes watered up. I felt more sad for Roman than I did joyful for Cody, as I'm not a Cody fan at all. I'm still sad for Roman. I think it's going to take some time for me to get used to it, if I'm being honest. That's, you know, it's going to be one of those deals where people wanted Roman to drop the belt so bad, and then they have him drop the belt, and then they feel sad. It's, you know what it is? You know what that is? You know what this is called? The human condition. That's all. Part of being a human being. I will say, if you've watched Roman Reigns' Instagram or TikTok, he already posted a video of saying, yesterday we mourned, today is day one, like we begin. So he was on a treadmill or something. So they're clearly, I mean, Roman Reigns is maybe taking a pause for a while, just like Seth, just like Becky, taking a pause, stepping away, and then Roman Reigns will come back with, again, whatever Triple H said that's going to, quote, blow our minds. We'll see. You pre-ordered and been playing WWE 2K24 on Xbox Series X since the very first day, as I brought the 40 years of WrestleMania edition. Just trying to avoid Cody Rhodes on my front cover, but somehow he's still on the front cover. No. You've even tried uninstalling the game and then reinstalling it to see if it fixes it, but nope, it's still Cody's stupid face. Wow, that's awesome. It's really annoying because I don't know if it's because of the digital version I have, and maybe the 40 years of WrestleMania cover is only for physical copies of the game. Who knows, but it's so frustrating now because I need to see his stupid face every time I go to the start of the game. One last thing on 2K24 you're going to love. Cody Rhodes' dog, Pharaoh, has a card in my faction of the game, so basically Pharaoh can be a manager like Paul Heyman. Let me ask you this, though. As you said that, can you attack the dog in the game? Like, if Pharaoh is a manager, oh, wait, it's in the My Faction section. Well, he has a card. I guess I don't ever use that part of it. Like, I'm not into the cards and stuff. But what would be awesome is if they had Pharaoh at ringside, like in the match, and you could attack the dog. Tell me that wouldn't be hilarious. I'm guessing that that's not what you meant, but I'm thinking in my mind, that would be what I'd love, right? Like, I don't even know how that would work. How would you even, yeah, that's definitely not what you meant, because I don't know how the physics of that would work in the game. Like, how do you wrestle a dog? How do you give a rock bottom to a dog? Where the hell is the mailbag gone? All right, one last thing. Being conscious of time, I'll respond to Alex the French Guy's voicemail next week, and there's something very interesting to share with you and the listeners about the European Championship. I feel Alex isn't going to like very much, so you're just going to have to wait and stay on the edge of your seats. See you next week. All right, Dino. We're all waiting. All right. Let's go to another patron, Ricochet. Ricochet. I didn't mean what I said the first time. Ricochet. We'll just go with that. This is okay. Another patron. Yes, boy. Overall, I enjoyed WrestleMania 40. We can never be 100% satisfied, but that's wrestling. We still watch. We have come from afar, from Fandango to various cringy, disappointing Divas matches. Oh, yeah. Remember Fandangoing? And WWE tried to make it happen on Raw after Mania, and it was like embarrassingly bad. Yeah, I remember that. Would have loved to have seen Undertaker speed down the ramp on the bike or come in some full dead man gear. Totally agree. I think I Show Speed was given a receipt for shoving Randy. Yes, that's what his name is. The YouTube star is called I Show Speed. Is that what he was? Yeah, Randy Orton literally just kicked him. I loved everything about Randy. He was being serious. I loved it. Jimmy J needed a stipulation. I love them both, but there's not a lot of storytelling, just super kicks. You know, you do wonder, if you took the super kick out of both of their arsenals in that match, what would the match have looked like? I think it would have been much better. The super kicks are what made it the worst, and they didn't even sell them. I mean, HBK must have just been in tears. My main point of all this email is Ricochet sucks. Flip, kick, take a bump. Flip, kick, take a bump. I try to keep my email brief, but I hope it wasn't too brief. No, yes, boy. And thank you. You know, Ricochet, it depends. Again, the sucks is a subjective thing. You'd have to say why he sucks. And you're saying, well, flip, kick, bump, flip, kick, bump. He does do a lot of that. And I'm not defending him. I can say as a fan, he is ultra talented and athletic in the ring. I shouldn't actually say talented, because talented would mean that he understands ring psychology to a T. He's very good at bumps. He's ultra athletic. But he lacks the connection with the fans, which he would think he'd understand is the most important part of a wrestling career. What you do in the ring is secondary. Why? Because if the fans don't give a god dang about your character, then they're not going to care if you win or lose the match that you are so good at jumping around the ring for, right? If you can flip, flop, fly and do 1080 splashes on people, that'll get people reacting, but it's not going to get people invested. See the difference? And he somehow cannot grasp that. Or he's just butthurt that his girlfriend is more over than he is. I don't know. Maybe a combo. Okay. Let's talk to another patron, Charlie. And he says, Charlie from Milwaukee. First, let me say to all of you Cody Crybaby snowflakes, congratulations, you all got your wish. We now have a champion that will show up every week to make us happy and put smiles on people's faces. Anyway, with the draft coming up in a couple weeks, and with too many names to draft, let me just give you my top 10 things I can see happening. First, Cody goes to SmackDown and brings the Winged Eagle Championship design. I think that's very likely. Although we just got that belt redesigned, because it's the Undisputed Championship. It was a merged Universal and WWE. So, I mean, I think that's fine. He's clearly appeasing to the older generation, but Priest stays on Raw and brings back the original world title design. I don't think so, because I think they're very proud of themselves with this belt right now, and they feel the other one's too big, but I would totally agree. I want that to happen, but I don't think it will. LA Knight and Logan Paul come to Raw? Yes. Bayley stays on SmackDown? Yeah. Rhea stays on Raw? She does feel like she belongs on Raw. But here's the thing. Judgment Day could break up here without having to feud with one another. Like Rhea, I think you're right. Rhea does probably stay on Raw. And I think that the rest of Judgment Day could go to SmackDown. All right. Except for Damian Priest, because if you're world champion, you can't go to the same brand as the Undisputed Champion. All right. Jade Cargill, or I just lost it here, and Bianca Belair come to Raw. Becky and Seth go to SmackDown. I think these are all very intelligent, Charlie. Gunther goes to SmackDown and eventually beats Cody to become the Undisputed WWE Champion and become the face of SmackDown. I mean, I would love it. But my timing would be the question, Charlie, because we just got over nearly a 4-year run with a heel champion. They need, and we need time to breathe with a babyface champion. So I don't think that's going to happen right away. I think Gunther could more than likely challenge for the world title. But we'll see. Randy Orton stays on SmackDown. Bron Breakker goes to Raw and becomes the new face of Raw. I'd say one of, not the, but one of, I think is fair. I think he said goodbye to the NXT fans at Stand and Deliver. Hope everyone has a great rest of the week. Congratulations on your Yankees being in first place. Just remember, it's extremely early in the year. Hashtag Cody sucks. Hashtag Cody cry, baby. Or hashtag cry Cody cry. Yeah, the Yankees, look, I'm not sitting here bragging about it. It's not a baseball podcast, but yeah, the Yankees are, hold on. I think they might have just lost to the Marlins as I speak. Let me, for those of you that are hanging on the edge of your seats, I'm sure you're really wondering. The Yankees lost to the Marlins 5-2. So they're, what, 10-3 right now? I think 10-3. But they've won every single series, including sweeping the Astros on the very beginning of the season. But I have a level head on myself, I think. I am not delusional enough to think that 12 games into the season that we're going to win the World Series because we have one of the best records in baseball. Again, sample size and consistency are really what's the name of the game in a 162-game season. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's fun to see the Yankees on top. It's fun to see them doing so well. Soto, Judge is starting to get a little bit warm now. Volpe, you know, Verdugo, they're all chipping in ways that I didn't think that they would. And obviously the loss of Cole at the top of the rotation hurts, but it hasn't hurt them yet, you know? But all right, not a baseball podcast again, but thanks, Charlie. Let's talk to another patron. Wow, scrolling here. We're going to go to another patron. Let's go to Mitch. And he says, hi, Matt. Just wanted to write in my thoughts on Cody in the last few days. I don't know if it was the best WrestleMania, but I think it was the best WrestleMania main event. Personally, I'm a big fan of Cody, and I thought you and Anthony went a bit too far in your criticisms on the WrestleMania review. I'll admit that I was listening. I was actually saying out loud, come on, guys, move on. But that's just my opinion. No, Mitch, hey. No, hey, we are very passionate about the dislike of his character. And as I admitted at the top of the show, sometimes I repeat things when I latch onto something I feel very passionate about. That's all. And I fully anticipated some kind of reaction like that where people are just sitting there going, oh my God, stop. We've heard this, right? And I know, but I'm not going to cut anything. I'm not going to edit anything other than some curse words here and there that sometimes I edit out. But I understand, especially if you've heard it before, especially if you are not on the same wavelength as we are. So no problem. But that's just my opinion. We're all entitled to our opinions. I think the show is great on the whole. Also, I saw some of the heat you've been copying on Twitter, and I'm sure you won't take it to heart, but I wanted to say, don't listen to people on there as it can be a cesspool of negativity. Keep up the good work. Content during Mania Week was awesome. Thanks. Well, Mitch, thank you. And, you know, here's the thing. I've adopted this new, you know, kind of, I don't know if the word is lens or whatever, where I'm just going to go, I don't give a dang. But here's the thing. I would concur with your assessment that, you know, you don't have to listen to people on Twitter or on X. And I would agree. I think that I'm going to be picking my battles, I guess, rather than just, responding to everybody that has a problem with my opinion. So I'm going to take a middle of the road approach when it comes to social media. Yeah, I think that's a good approach. Thanks, Mitch. And I'm glad you still like the podcast, even if we do take it a little too far sometimes. And it's just, sometimes we do. Every show is not going to be one you love. You know, you're going to listen to some shows and be like, man, I love that. That was great. And other shows are going to be like, that was a drag. It's just the way it goes. You know, same with any content, any media you watch. It's just the way it goes. You have a good episode, a bad episode, a string of good ones, a string of bad ones. So thanks, Mitch. Let's talk to, my gosh, let's talk to Anthony. He's one of the higher level patrons. Anthony, let's go. Good morning from California. Congrats on reaching 14 for wrestling podcasts. Well, you're wrong, Anthony. We're actually at number 12 right now. We are actually above Jim Ross's podcast right now. It's not going to last long. The guy has a massive built-in audience. So it's just fun to say we are above Jim Ross's podcast right now. It's wild. Now, we're coming for Busted Open. They're a tough act to follow, though. But I have to say, they are fun to listen to, but sometimes they just, outside, Mark Henry's there, Bubba Ray Dudley's there. I have more respect for their opinions than the other, some of the other guys. But they are the top of the food chain right now. So to anyone listening, for free, just make the leap to the NXT level. The Discord server alone is worth the price of admission, with or without the Roman belt. He'll always be our tribal chief. I know folks that are living with leukemia, and that's not an easy burden to bear. I understand now why he takes such long gaps between matches. Let's all take a second and acknowledge everything he's done. Truly special. Sometime I think we're all guilty of forgetting that these people are real and have real lives. That's a good point. And I know that he addressed the leukemia thing in the post press conference and said that it's just something he lives with. He takes an oral pill for treatment, and that it's just something. He's still in remission. There's no signs of it back, but it is something he'll live with for the rest of his life. And is that the reason why? And I don't know if that's the sole reason why. I don't think they'd have him competing at all if he was putting himself at risk. I think that's actually more of a by design kind of thing. And keeping him, they had plans for him to be champion for a really long time, and they wanted longevity out of him. And the way you do that is reduce the mileage on his body. On top of the fact that, he has leukemia. Mania as a whole was great. Austin showing up would have made it the greatest, and it had a lot of highs and minimal lows. I get Sammy winning the IC belt. It was time for Gunther to drop it so he can go to main event status. I would have rather seen Jay beat him instead of that awful Jimmy Jay match. Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I was advocating for Jay to win the IC title for months. That would have been a much better place for him. And I don't, again, Jimmy, if it was just for Jimmy's sake, that's a bad move on WWE's part. But Raw was a vast improvement over last year. The Rock put on a masterclass of what it is to be a heel. They had me until the belt exchange. Even the crowd was chanting, "This is awkward, this is awkward." And that it went off after that, it went off the rails. Well, to be fair, also, Anthony, that was like an hour-long segment. Not every piece of it's going to be great. They're performing live with no safety net for an hour. You're going to have parts of it that drag or are weird. But I agree the company is thinking Jade needs more polish, so for me, the jury's still out until she's a finished product. Cody is still the product of the PG era. Of course, Austin wouldn't cry. That wasn't his character. But in the PG era, this is the top babyface you get. This is the guy that parents will let their kids cheer for, and bringing Pharaoh is clearly a marketing technique. How many kids' shirts have sold with that graphic? I would have to assume a lot. It's a business. Making money is the top priority. The rants are fine, but in the review show, you made fun of speech impediment. Seems like low-hanging fruit. Again, making fun and pointing it out and even imitating it are not making fun of it. There's a distinction between observing it, mimicking it, and mimicking it for laughter. I didn't mimic it for laughter. I mimicked it out of frustration and also to try to actually mimic exactly how he would sound. I didn't make fun of it as if it's what a loser, right? As I said, that's not how I framed it. To point it out doesn't mean that I'm making fun of it. It would be the same thing as if I walked into a store, I saw somebody in a wheelchair, and I said to my friend who also sees it, I said, "Oh, do you see that guy in the wheelchair? You see how he's paralyzed?" Right? It'd be the same thing. It's not comfortable to hear, but it's not making fun of it. It's just an observation, a weird one, but an observation all the same. Okay. And yeah, of course, Samantha records herself and posts it, but doesn't that make it any less genuine? Well, I mean, it's hard to get into the heart and minds of people, but it also, in today's day and age, with everything being so relying on loves and likes and affirmation and validation of feelings and all this kind of stuff from social media, the case for people doing things purposefully and recording them purposefully so they can post it and get likes is sometimes the primary motivation. Sometimes. I mean, you don't have somebody record. Why would you have your ring announcer, right? Your job is to speak into a microphone. Why do you have someone recording you speaking into a microphone? Like, you sit there and you just talk. You don't perform in the ring. You're not telling jokes, right? So there is, to me, an alternate motivator there for Samantha Irvin. But she's still incredible at what she does. She's incredible. And again, before everyone got on the Samantha Irvin bandwagon, I was singing her praises for many months. I think she has been a really good addition and has taken on her own personality, or her own persona on the show. I mean, she's incredible. This is an entertainment business. Yes, or more eyes, clicks, and likes translates to more money. As much as we'd like to believe everyone is here for the love of the game, everyone is motivated by the almighty dollar. Looking forward to what this year will bring, and thank you for telling us what masculinity should be, so also while defending the virtue of women's division. I'll leave it here, as I'm sure you're late for your meeting at the roundtable to discuss chivalrous masculinity and feminine virtues. Sir Matt, keep up the good work. I hope you didn't upset your tummy too much. Pepto-Bismol is a thing. Get them to sponsor. Well, I think you and I seem to be on the opposite ends of the political spectrum. I think that's what this boils down to. I think, you know, to you, I'm going to guess any masculinity is viewed as toxic, right? Traditional masculinity to you, I'm going to guess, is toxic. When at the same time, for thousands of years, it has worked and has been a very big part of the dynamic of the man, like a man and woman relationship, especially when it gets into marriage and having children, right? Men and women have certain roles that has worked forever. And all of a sudden, the latest generation wants to come around and say, you know what? No, you know what? I want men to be more like women. I want them to be softer. You know, I'm a girl boss. You know, I'm a queen. Which, by the way, man, I'm just telling you right now, if any woman, this is going to piss off some people, but I can tell you from experience, if any woman self-appoints themselves as a girl boss or a queen, run the other way and don't stop. Okay? Just do it. All right? I'm not intimidated by girl bosses or someone calling themselves a queen. Okay, but if you need to self-appoint yourself, if you need to label yourself that, it's like giving yourself a nickname or trying to tell people up front that, hey, I mean business. Stop it, right? And it tells you a whole lot more that I won't get into. But my point is, Anthony, I think you and I fall a little bit differently on the political spectrum. And that's okay. It's okay. But I think I'll... Maybe I'll reach out to Pepto-Bismol. Maybe make a bunch of money on that. We'll see. All right. Let's move on here. Let's see. Maybe we'll get to one more. We'll wrap it up with one more. Oh, patrons. I see patrons all over the place, guys. Where am I going? Let's talk to Matthew. Matthew B. He says, hey, Matt, being at Mania Live for all the events was incredible and something I'll never forget. Even though we didn't hear the glass shatter, it's never bad to hear the gong. It's a little disappointing we didn't see Austin, but still popped like crazy when the lights went off and Taker showed up. My only question is, who do you think, or where do you think they'll go with Drew after getting cashed in on? I just don't see them having a pay-per-view in Scotland and him not being champ or winning the title there. It was so awesome to see a cash-in live, but wasn't happy that it was on Drew. And now... it just leaves a bunch of questions. Thank you for your time and hope you enjoyed Mania as much as I did. Yeah, I really did. For all my complaining about Cody, I thought it was a very good WrestleMania. Was it the greatest of all time? My reflex is no. I mean, sometimes people have the habit of whatever's the most fresh in their minds is usually to them sometimes the greatest thing or worst thing ever. But then as time goes on, you get to file it in the proper place. It's just that the emotions are the most fresh, so you're feeling them at a more intense level than something that happened maybe 10 years ago. So anyway, I wasn't, you know, I did say on the current state of WWE with Anthony DeMarco, I said I was, you know, for the first time, maybe the most disappointed I've ever been when I heard the gong. But it's only because the Austin would have been such a better fit for me. And it would have capped off an otherwise really good match, really fun event. And it just, to me, would have been the perfect icing on the cake. We just got a different flavor. And that's all. And I know, I understand why you popped. I probably would have popped too, because most people didn't expect Undertaker in that spot. They were waiting for the glass. And Undertaker is a Mount Rushmore guy. And you didn't get it. And hey, it still worked out. You still got the same result. But instead of a stunner, he took a chokeslam. As far as him, Drew, where does he go? I think he floats around in the world title picture for a while. And whether or not he becomes champion, here's the thing. I do not believe Damian Priest is going to be champion for very long. I don't. I think Damian Priest is going to probably lose it in Scotland. I think that's a good place to do it. You can't, like you said, you can't have Drew not compete there with the championship. So I think we have a short run with Damian as champion. I think it just makes sense. Yeah, but I enjoyed WrestleMania. Thank you, sir. I don't know. I'm trying to find some short emails here, guys. Some of them are not very short. Yeah, these are too long. These are too long. Too long. All right. So let's take a pause here. We're going to pause it. We've still got half of them to go at most. I mean, there'll be even more emails by the time I do a second part to this. So thank you, everybody, for listening. I know there's many of you. DJ Kuzmo, I know we got DJ Kuzmo in the batter's box. We've got Thomas Franco. We've got Bad Fish. We've got Darren Diaz. Okay, I see all you guys. You're all there. We'll get to you in a second part to this show. And it's just going to have to be the way it's going to be for a little while. So, again, if I don't get to a part two right away, I will try to attach it to the Sunday night review. You guys know it's a little bit like not a great pattern. Sometimes I do it on Thursday as part two. Sometimes it's on a Sunday. I need probably a little break from recording, so it might be later in the week. But, you know, stranger things have happened. So, thanks, everybody, for listening. Again, you want to go ad-free, patreon.com/WWE podcast. All the emails you heard right now were from patrons, not from people who are non-patrons, although I do try to get to those as well. So it's a great perk of going to Patreon. You can also head to wwpodcast.com if you want to go VIP on our website, or on Apple, you have an ad-free button there. Both Apple and Patreon give you a 7-day free trial. So if you want to try us, it doesn't cost you anything, and you want to bail on us, cool. But give us a try for free, and I think you'll end up staying. I think you'll end up liking what we have to offer, which is a whole lot of Cody complaining. So if you love the Cody complaining, boy, you're in the right spot. If you love being annoyed by how much we complain about Cody and complain about him, and then we'll do another complaining session about him, you are in the right place. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will talk to you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app, so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWEpodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.